The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland and his majestic stride on this Friday. Football Friday.
That's right, man.
Which means Fezzik Fridays a little later on the show. Dr. Bob with his play of the weekend. I don't know if it's college. I don't know if it's pro.
Me neither.
Chances are it's pro, given the landscape. But we'll see. We'll see. The Dr. Bob Fezzik Fridays back-to-back to not quite close out the show, but towards the end. Zach Cohen will join us as well, host of Hardwood Handicappers, talk NBA with us. A little NFL as well. Maybe he's got some thoughts on college football tonight. We'll look at all the wild card games once again on the show. And Wes Reynolds, who is following the Hoosiers around the country once again, like his favorite rock band.
The Winter of West continues.
That's right. The Winter of West. Co-host of Long Shots, but with the century off this week, it was actually perfect for West, right? He didn't have to deal with golf.
Yeah.
He could just focus on Indiana football, Indiana and Oregon tonight. We'll talk about that as well with everybody involved. Looking forward to that. How about that game last night, though?
Whew. There's good one to get it started, man. 5 days in a row. What a way to start it.
What a way to start it is right. Computer on the fritz, so I'll just I'll go through notes on some of this. But for those who missed it last night, Miami 31, Ole Miss 27. I sort of feel about this game as I did about the folks talking about the Ravens and the Steelers, where they were like, "Oh my God, what a great football game!" Well, was it a great football game or was it a great fourth quarter?
I'm so glad you brought this up. It was a great fourth quarter.
It was a great fourth quarter. People were like, "Oh, Carson Beck was amazing." Oh, was Carson Beck great? Or was it great when it mattered? Right?
It was a better game in totality than the Ravens-Steelers. Ravens-Steelers' fourth quarter was even a little crazier than this. That's the way I'd put it.
Yes.
I wouldn't have thought about it this way unless you brought it up, but it's a great comparison.
Still, as long as we're winning bets, satisfactory. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Carson, let's go. Way to go, buddy.
Miami 31, now Ole Miss 27. Miami gets the money, both in the first half and the game. The over hits as well in this one. In case you missed it, 3-0 Miami. And then on their subsequent drive up 3-0 after they kicked the field goal. On a drive where a targeting flag against Malachi Toney was picked up on review, they had to punt. How was that flag picked up? That's the first thing.
Some officiating last night, yeah.
ESPN rules analyst Bill Lemonnier supporting a targeting call. Quote, definitely defenseless player, guys. Strong hit to the head neck area. This shouldn't take long. After review, there was no targeting. It shouldn't take long.
My immediate reaction, I still have questions. Like, my immediate reaction was targeting. He's out. He's gone.
Oh, it was totally
just
targeting.
Like the broadcast was. I thought they were completely right.
It's totally targeting. After review, there was no targeting. Lemonnier then explained why the refs reached that conclusion. He says, quote, well, you also have to have an indicator in there, a launch, a thrust. I'm like, what are we talking about here? Anyway, there was no launch or thrust, apparently. He just ran into him, so there was no targeting. Ole Miss then gets the ball back. First play, second quarter, Kewon Lacy for 73 yards to the house. Pulled a hammy a little bit, tweaked a hammy, I should say, on the run, but got into the end zone. First play of the second quarter, 7-3 Ole Miss. Miami would respond. 15 plays, 75 yards, 7 minutes and 41 seconds. I mean, get used to that in this game. This was just a Miami time of possession fest. Charmar Brown in from 4-10-7. Kane, 7-09 left the second quarter. Then Ole Miss, we get a Lucas Carnero 42-yard field goal to knot it up at 10 apiece. Then Miami, 5 plays, 75 yards. This one was quick, 220. Beck to Keelan Marion for 52, wide open behind the defense. Great spotting there by Beck. 17-10 Miami, 2:18 left in the second quarter. And then later, those last few minutes of the second quarter seemed to last forever. Ole Miss from their own 31 with 55 seconds left. At this point, down 7, no timeouts. Carnero, 58-yard field goal, got it. 17-13 Canes at the half. By the way, by the halftime stats, Miami 229 yards to 145 for Ole Miss. 42 plays to 24 for Ole Miss. 13 first downs to 6. They're only up 4. By the time halftime was over, you have this reaction as well? By the time halftime was over, from alleged kickoff time to the beginning of the second half, 2 hours and 15 minutes of real time.
Yep.
I'm like, can we get this going?
It was one of those two. I left to go get something to eat towards the end of the first half. I couldn't believe when I was settled back in to start watching the game again, I could not believe the third quarter had not started. I was like, I've been gone forever.
Wishnev's line is, when I go to a concert, do I need a football game at intermission? That's his way of saying it.
It's insane, man.
Third quarter, Miami up, up four now, 17-13. They matriculate, but intentional grounding on a flea flicker on first and 10, the Ole Miss 34 sets them back. We've seen a couple of those. What are these guys doing, like deep in enemy territory, going flea flickers? Carter Davis, 51-yard field goal tries, what they had to settle for, wide right. And Ole Miss with the ball down four somehow with all those stats against them. After Miami dropped picks on two plays on this subsequent drive, including one where there's like bouncing three times. Carnero, 52-yard field goal try, doinks off the left upright, no good. He is human after all. Miami from their own 34, third and five at their own 39. Beck for 8, 6 plays later. Third and 13, Beck for 11. Then fourth and 2 at the Mississippi 31, Charmar for 9. But false start sets him back behind the chains. Then a third and 12 of the Mississippi 24, Beck picked off a deflection by Kapina Gushikin. Ole Miss still down 4. By the way, it was the other thing. Felica, and we talked about all the penalties that Miami would get in ACC play, but not in the tournament. We almost jinxed that. We certainly jinxed that yesterday. Ole Miss, after Miami, drops another would-be pick downfield. Carnero, 54-yard field goal. This time it banks off the left upright, but good. 17-16 Miami with 22 seconds left in the third. Next time Mississippi gets the ball, Ole Miss. From their own 10, helped along by targeting call that was upheld. And Cristobal losing his mind. Oh, you're upholding that one?
Yeah.
Then a late hit on consecutive plays. Goal to go for Ole Miss, and then Messidor gets his elbow wrenched in the process. You know what the broadcast, I don't think, did a good enough job on yesterday? Just portraying how many defensive players were out for the Canes. Mm-hmm. At this point, they were down 3 D-backs and 2 defensive linemen. Ole Miss had to settle for a Carnero 22-yard field goal, though, 19-17. Ole Miss takes the lead with 7 minutes left in the ballgame. This game was just getting started. Miami response, 4 plays, 75 yards, and 156 Beck. A little wide-out screen to Malachi, 36 to the house. Can't catch him. Kid's amazing. Should be in high school. 24-19, Canes, 5:04 left. Ole Miss responds. 6 plays, 75 yards with 151, just take it off the clock. Chambliss to Daquan Wright from 24 out. To Odom for 2, 27-24. Ole Miss with 3:13 left. You've got to be kidding me. Miami would then go on a 15-play, 75-yard drive that took 2:55 off the clock to win this. 2 minutes left in the game, 3rd and 8 at their own 39, a clear face mask on Ole Miss on the D-back. Fowler, Chris Fowler, who I love, but wasn't having his best night,
yeah,
asks, was it enough on the face mask? Chris, the guy's head was like 100 degrees shifted over.
Just going back to that last drive real quick, the other one that was weird to me was when he kept making a big deal of like...
We're not there yet.
Oh, okay.
2 plays later, amazing catch by Tony, but heel out. Toe in, heel out. They still matriculate. They get a new set of downs. Next play, 3 plays later, 3rd and 10 at the Mississippi 35. Beck to Keelan Marion for 17. After a 1-yard loss, Ole Miss calls timeout. 37 seconds left. Fowler, here's your moment, Kelly. Should they go for the win? Huh? What do you... Even Herb Street was like, yeah, I think they should.
I wouldn't even talk about that. It was the drive before when he kept being like, well, you don't want to leave him too much time here. And it was like 5 minutes on the clock. It's no, there's time to score and get the ball back.
Well, I sort of got what he was getting with Chambliss there. I understood that. He also missed like a pass that was obviously incomplete on the sideline in the first half, and he couldn't really tell that it was incomplete for a while. Anyway, next play, Beck to Marriott for 11 to the 8. Timeout Ole Miss with 31 seconds left. Charmar for 5. Then a Miami timeout with 24 seconds left. Second and goal at the 3. Beck in from 3. Untouched. Touchdown. Extra point good. Miami leads at 31-27 with 18 seconds left. The Canes are going to go to the finals. Except for, here comes Chambliss. Ole Miss from their own 25. Chambliss to Caden Lee for 23. 13 seconds left. To DeJounte dribbling for 17. 6 seconds left. Timeout Ole Miss. One play. It comes down to one play at the Miami 35. Timeout Miami. Chambliss to the end zone, back corner, knocked away, ball game. Lane Kiffin tweets, 100% PI. Shut up, Lane. No one cares. Miami advances. Unbelievable ball, unbelievable finish to that ball game anyway. As the U is going back to the title game here, or at least in this new format going to the title game for the first time. It's been a long time since they've come this close to a national championship. They, of course, will play the winner of tonight's game between Oregon and Indiana.
Yeah, Miami made me money a couple games in a row here. I think I'll be rooting hard against you in the national championship. Can't have those Canes raising a trophy around me, you know? That's where the Noles fanhood comes into play. The, dude, wild game. I don't know about you. This is perfect example game of I'm glad I stay off social media sometimes during these moments.
Me too.
I was shocked waking up this morning that there was as big of an outcry seemingly over that final play and the lack of pass interference.
Oh, me too. They never call pass interference on that.
I watching it live, I was like, well, there's a lot of contact there, but final play of a game.
Never gets called.
I was like, I'm not shocked to not see a flag. I don't know. Would I have been shocked if a flag came out? I would have been a little
surprised. I would have been shocked if a flag came out. You have to destroy someone so obviously on a Hail Mary.
Yeah. And like, Gil, I'm okay with that, right? Like the end of game, end of an NBA game, end of a college basketball game. It's swallow the whistle, right? I don't need the refs getting involved in a massive play at the end of a game.
Also, maybe, you know, I'm not going to knock Chambliss for anything, but back corner of the end zone, not exactly an optimal spot for that either.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get any, like, benefit of the doubt on that in the back corner. Chambliss mocked to go second day or third day in the draft. If you're bold, they're mocking him late first round. Are we sure about that?
I've seen a couple who have him, like, mid-first round.
Okay, he's creeping up.
Yeah.
Are we sure he's not better than everybody?
But he wants to go back to school.
Yeah. Coming back, Indiana, Oregon, on a numbers game right here at VSiN. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you want to bet smarter, start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Greg Peterson's college basketball best bets, Zach Cohen's Oregon-Indiana preview, and Dave Tooley's takes and best NFL bets. And later today you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA best bets. Zach Cohen doing it all. Jonathan Davis's NHL picks and props, daily racing form weekend handicaps as well, by the way. And you get full VSiN Pro access for as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days. See all of the options at vsin.com/subscribe. We have some GM news in the NFL, sir?
We do. We have a hire by the Miami Dolphins. Finalizing a deal.
Jean-Eric Sullivan. What do you feel about a man named Jean-Eric with a hyphen in between? Feel like he has good NFL GMing potential?
Yeah.
They're finalizing a deal, the Dolphins are, with former Packers VP of player personnel Jean-Eric Sullivan as their GM, per sources. Jean-Eric Sullivan came up through the Packers organization, has done pretty much everything in that front office.
Dude, it's wild. I just pulled up his Wikipedia
20
page.
20-plus years?
2003, started as a training camp intern.
Good for him.
From about 2008 to 2015, he was the Central Plains Region Scout and the Southeast Region Scout.
You got to love those stories.
Oh, you do.
It's
the Eric Spoelstra story.
We were just talking off air with Danny Higgins about DaCosta, who's the Ravens GM. Same story, right? Like 20 plus years in the Ravens organization, started at the lowest level possible. Now he's the GM of the Baltimore Ravens.
I am a little
good on the Dolphins for getting their guy for GM, Jean-Eric Sullivan, former Packers VP of player personnel. And now Jean-Eric Sullivan and the Dolphins look for their head coach. Maybe they already have their head coach in mind. I don't know.
I'm still perplexed by the name a little bit. Like, this is like Carl Anthony Towns, right? Like, where I get the hyphen with last names.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why for first names?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know where that comes from.
Maybe you should spend a segment deep diving on that.
Or is it just like the middle name and they combine them?
Kelly's like a squirrel. He hears something. He's like, wait.
That stuff intrigues me. Should I just be Kelly-Michael? Start doing that again?
Kelly-Michael Bidlin?
Yeah.
We get tweets beating the book. Y'all are awesome. Mike P. Oh, because I was saying yesterday or sometime this week, I was saying if October is the best sports month with playoff baseball midweek, football on the weekends, if March Madness's first 2 to 4 days is the greatest thing, these are the greatest 5 days, right, in terms of anything in terms of the college football semis, wildcard weekend in the NFL. Well, he adds, Mike P does, at 15 Royals, 15 Chief. Does I like to add some other sports calendar days? Masters Week with the semis and championship, Monday of College Hoops. Stanley Cup playoffs, he's a big fan. 2 weeks from the end of August through Labor Day Monday, with that following Thursday, week zero, weeks one in college in the NFL. Those are good. Not quite as good as the ones I think we measure, but those are good. Everybody's got their favorite. Anthony Bianco, my survivor pool resets for the playoffs. What's a good strategy? I don't have any great strategy other than just try to pick the team you think that's going to eke by this week that has no shot of advancing further. Bears, Packers, Jags. Maybe you think it is. Maybe you think it's the Bills. By the way, just putting that Miami game in context one more time. This is OptiStats from yesterday. Miami, the only FBS or NFL team in the last 20 years. This is FBS or NFL they went through. The only FBS or NFL team in the last 20 years to hold the ball for 40-plus minutes, amass 400-plus yards of offense, convert 10-plus third downs, convert multiple fourth downs, have four drives of 13-plus plays, all in the same game regular season or postseason. And oh, by the way, not added to this tweet, and they barely won.
What is the, and they barely won, and they barely, I actually don't even know. Like, if you, like just sitting here and listening to you recap everything, I'm like, I don't even know how Ole Miss was in this game. And like, you look at those stats and it's like, what's the craziest one on there to you?
Convert 10 plus third downs.
That one jumped out to me as well, but have four drives of 13 plus plays is up there,
that's
right?
That's up there too. That, I mean, maybe that's it. That's the big one.
Jason Stark tweeted in. This is what I was talking about, although I think he's arguing or confused me. There was over 6 minutes left. They were at the 35 already. They could have run the ball every time and used three downs each time. They still would have had 2 minutes left on the clock. You want to score quick, so you have a 2-for-1. This was when Miami had the ball after that Ole Miss field goal to put him up, right? And it was like, there's like 5-6 minutes left and they're driving. And like Fowler said a couple times, like, you don't want to leave them too much time here. And
I'm
like,
this is the end of the first half you're talking?
No. The end of the game. There was like 5 minutes left. Miami had the ball. It was the Malachi Toney touchdown on that one. But it was like right before Toney scores that touchdown. I'm like, you have plenty of time to go 2-for-1 here. Like, it's score, and then Ole Miss can get the ball. Then you're going to get it back.
I guess I understood what he was getting at there, but I understand what you're saying. But that one didn't bother me in the moment. The other ones, I was like, is he okay tonight? He was just not having his best night.
Dude, Malachi Toney. Like Malachi Toney. And yes. I'll be the guy who raises his hand and says, I don't watch that much college football, and I've only seen a few games with this kid, but man, is he something special.
Oh, but this is not news. He's been unbelievable since the moment you laid eyes on him. Mike Alvarez, yes, don't ever make that mistake again. He said, Why You Hurt Me So Bad. The name of the song is Why You Treat Me So Bad by Club Nouveau. That's just a little thing between us. Mortal Capper. Gil, any thoughts on ESPN parting ways with Pam Shriver and Brad Gilbert? New Australian Open hosts with Malika Andrews and Katie George while Chris McKendry heads to play-by-play. I'm a little sad by it. Brad Gilbert, who's been on this show many times, by the way. He used to come on this show a lot. Multiple times. I should say many, but multiple times he's been on the show. We would talk French Open and Warriors. He's a big Dubs fan.
Mm-hmm.
Love Brad Gilbert. Sad to see him go because I always thought he was a fun listen. But they want to go younger with tennis, I guess is really the story. And so they're pushing McKendry to the booth, or I don't know, maybe that's a move she likes, but Malika doing the second week of the Australian Open is the most interesting move of that because I honestly think her career is now, we can see the trajectory of her career. Like the NBA will no longer, I don't think she'll be doing NBA 5 years from now.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I think she's going to be doing Good Morning America and tennis is what I think she'll be doing internationally.
I think it's surprising. You and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday. I knew the Malika part from you. I didn't know those other names. McKendry's awesome. I don't really have a problem with that.
What a great life she has. All she does is tennis. It's fantastic. Right.
I mean, I think she's extremely talented when she's on there. So, losing Brad Gilbert, but you think that was that a partially with him with the coaching too?
It is. They stress that this is a tournament by tournament thing. So I guess they're leaving room for the Darren Cahills and the Brad Gilberts of the world to come back.
They'll be able to come back. Yeah.
Coaching. Eddie Prunella, who are you most excited to bet on this year in the WTA besides Iga? I want all the Iva Jovic stock. Yeah. I mean, the tennis hardos know very, very well about Iva Jovic. Probably a year away, but she's great. Chad Lasso, the amazing catch by Toney at the end was huge for me. Cashed one-handed on the what will the announcers say market, although I took a bad beat on what a catch because they said what a great catch. Yes, I'm a degenerate, but it was such a fun sweat. Shout out Kalshi. There you go.
Oh, that was like the will that be mentioned during the game? I what guess. A catch or something? Yeah,
they crazy, had those markers? Man. I didn't even notice.
They do.
Poke Therapy, to let it ride or not to let it ride, is hedging for Gardeners. As a Canes fan this past month and a half, has been a roller coaster. What a ride. Let Kelly know FSU sucks.
Bring it on. Let's go.
I think he's got a 50-1 he's showing me here on the Canes to win it all.
I have to be that guy that's all happy, won two bets in a row on Miami, and then whoever wins this game tonight. Wes, make room. Make room on the Indiana bandwagon.
And Harold Irving, I was talking about Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens. He said, proud Colby College alumni. Shout out Colby College. Wes is going to come on from the Peach Bowl, or like in the locker room, we like to say. He's somewhere in Georgia right now.
Dude, great job on you, by the way, for remembering every one of these bowl games.
I didn't the other day. I flustered on it the other day.
I could be watching that game last night and be like, I don't even know where they're playing this.
I'm generally the same way.
And like, sorry, Bowls, it doesn't matter it anymore doesn't matter. When it's quarterfinals, semifinals.
Honestly, if we weren't doing a show, I probably wouldn't care to know either. But Indiana and Oregon tonight, just a couple, you know, I'm on Indiana. I'm on them -4. Then I bet them again -3. I have them to win the title at 10-1, coming on the heels of the Miami ATS win last night. I'll make the case for Oregon. They rank 5th nationally in yards per play allowed, 3rd in yards per pass allowed. They're 8th in opponent dropback EPA, 9th in opponent dropback success rate allowed, just 5.3 yards per pass attempt, 3rd lowest in college football. Ducks are 3rd in the country in adjusted net EPA per play. One spot above Indiana, which comes in 4th. And when Indiana beat Georgia 30-20 earlier this year, Indiana generated a 50% pressure rate against the Ducks. But remember, Stephen Daly played in that game. So did Kellen Wyatt. Indiana doesn't have either of those two guys on defense in this one. So like there's a case, obviously, to be made for Oregon. They lose that first game in Eugene by 10. Some people have said on our air, on guests on this show, better to be the team that lost than the team that won. Okay. But Indiana, coming off a game where they outgained Alabama 408-193 against its top opponents this year, Bama, Ohio State, and Oregon in week 7. Let's throw Illinois in there as well, week 4. Indiana allowed 3 combined offensive touchdowns. Oregon without running back Jordan Davison tonight. He's got a broken clavicle. That's huge. He accounted for 15 rushing touchdowns this season, averaged 7.4 yards per carry in that game against Indiana earlier this year. Noah Whittington still, of course, in the lineup. Don't want to lose him, though, because you only got 3 backs, Oregon, period. And the Hoosier defense leads the nation in red zone touchdown rate allowed, 26%. Oregon's offense, very middling in that category. And the biggest thing I will say about this, and the reason that I'm just so completely on Indiana's bandwagon, I think when they beat Oregon the first time, that's when I made the bet for them to win it all. I think they can beat anybody. But it's the fact that in Mike Shanahan's offense, they just get the ball out so quickly with Mendoza. 47% of their plays are RPO. And that's the nation's 20th highest rate, so it really does mitigate the Oregon pass rush. Wes Reynolds' thoughts on this next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know how I spent my night?
How's that?
Listening to Bruno Mars' new release about 5-7 times.
How is it?
It's not my favorite Bruno ever, but it's going to be a spectacular hit for him once again. Bruno Mars, only 3 albums. This is going to be his 4th. He has the greatest efficiency rate. Can I use an analytics, sports analytics term? He has the greatest all-time, this is just me talking, efficiency rate of jams, bona fide jams, per number of songs ever released.
You're probably right.
Because all told, he's probably got like 50 songs, including the collabs that he does.
Who else is on that list? Like Usher?
You know who's actually on that list? Probably Adele is probably on
Adele,
that list. Someone like
Adele.
That. Yeah. I mean, just talking about like fewest releases, but most jams per
Katy
release.
Katy Perry.
I don't know. Now Kelly's going to just throw out names the rest of the show.
I'm just thinking of like people that I don't know how many albums they have, but I've heard like a million singles.
Jermaine Jackson. No. We get tweet speed of the book. Chad Lasso. Fact of the day. Malachi Toney was 11 years old when Carson Beck was a freshman. LOL. He's not even joking, by the way.
It's insane.
It might have been 12. I don't know about 11.
Congratulations to Miami to winning a couple football games with a guy in his mid-30s playing quarterback.
Can you check on that? Make sure that's true. Jason McKinney, 27-24 last night with Miami driving at the two-minute warning. DraftKings had the over at 51.5 at plus 130. I couldn't believe my eyes and had to double-check I wasn't behind on my broadcast. Live betting is great thanks to ANG, Todd Wishnev, Will Hill. I need to buy y'all... Oh, there's more. I need to buy y'all some Texas Roadhouse rolls. All right. Well, appreciate that.
Rolls are good.
Told the rolls are great. Chris Heath, San Rafael's Brad Gilbert. Used to have a little tennis shop on 4th Street in San Rafael. Sat in on some local sports radio for a few months. Made it fun. By the way, that's another one, Kelly. It's San Rafael, but you don't pronounce it that way. You say San Rafael. Because if you say San Rafael, you are clearly not from the Bay. Oh, my God.
That's another one?
That's another one. Trip Tepper, ESPN placing Malika in their tennis coverage is so comically forced, he says. ESPN couldn't find on-air talent with at least a hint of tennis experience. McKendry to play-by-play doesn't make sense either. She's an ace studio host. She is a fantastic studio host. It is interesting that they... I mean, Malika's great at whatever she does, but it is interesting that they are completely unaware of tennis talent, for sure. Ben Wilson is who I'm putting in there. Ben Wilson that job.
Malika's a studio star. She will be great. I think you're saying the fantastic. Same point made in that tweet about... Yeah. I'm not worried about McKendry. I think McKendry's an extremely talented... Look, many of these people, like a Ben Wilson, multi-talented.
Yeah.
Not Kelly Bidlin, but many of these people are multi-talented on what they can do.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, he's following the Indiana Hoosiers around the country as if they're his favorite rock band. I believe I said that earlier. It remains true. And who can blame him? Because who could have ever seen this coming? Hoosier himself, Wes Reynolds, joins us now from Atlanta, Georgia, where the Hoosiers take on the Ducks tonight. Hoosiers 3.5-point favorites, total 48.5. Wes, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Gil. Thanks for having me on.
Where are you exactly right now?
I am in the Hilton Atlanta in downtown ATL, trying to prepare my day and how we're going to attack this thing and get ready for 7:30 Eastern time at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Attack as in personally attack or from a betting standpoint attack?
More personally, because I've already made my bet here. And of course, I'm betting the Hoosiers. I'm following them around the country, for God's sakes. I got to have something on them. So I did bet money line. On Indiana, I think maybe another way to play this is Oregon team total under. If you want to do that, I look at this and it looks like it's going to be a different game, and you think it's going to be different because Oregon is perfectly capable. They are perfectly capable of winning this game, but their issues I still think are there. Can they run the ball? And it's not just the lack of running back depth. It's the fact that Indiana has been so stifling against the run. Ohio State couldn't run on them. Alabama couldn't run on them. Iowa couldn't run on them. Penn State couldn't run on them. Oregon couldn't run on them in the first meeting. So what's going to change here? And I think if Oregon can't run the ball, that forces Dante Moore to make the plays. And he's made the plays against the Wisconsins of the world and kind of the middling Big Ten teams. But against the three best defenses he's faced, and that being Indiana, that also being Texas Tech, and that being Iowa, he's got one touchdown pass against four interceptions. So Dante Moore is going to have to be even extra huge for this team tonight, I think, for them to get out of here with a win.
Let's put the pin in that for a second. Let me give you a couple hypothetical championship lines and see if you think these are where they ought to be. Your Hoosiers, if they get by Oregon tonight, 5.5-point favorites against the Canes. 45.5 is the total. If it is Oregon, sorry about that, Wes, but if it is Oregon, 2.5-point favorites against Miami, total 47.5. Do you agree with those lines?
Yeah, I think those are probably fair. And on the Oregon side, keep in mind, they just made that trip last week to the Orange Bowl. So they're used to the travel and they're used to the routine, even though it's going to be on a different day. It's going to be on a Monday night instead of a Thursday morning, but it's still a similar routine. I think those are absolutely fair lines. Miami, of course, gets an ex officio home game now with the win over Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl. And honestly, both of those teams were going to travel. Like, I think Ole Miss was going to have a ton of people there if they would have went. But now Miami at home and then potentially getting Indiana, obviously, that'd be for ticket brokers, that'd be the best matchup, Indiana-Miami, because there's a lot of Hoosiers here. I think it's at least 80-20. From what I've seen, and might be even closer to 90-10 here.
Whoa.
From what I've seen in Atlanta so far.
Oh, my goodness.
My guess would be for that national championship game, if it's Miami-Oregon, sure, more Miami fans in the stadium than Oregon. If it's Indiana-Miami, I think it's going to look real bad for Miami with how much red there is on the screen.
You travel well, Wes.
Yep.
You travel well. So just to clarify, you're on the Hoosiers on the money line, but not against the spread tonight?
Yeah, I just played money line for this one. I think that they're just going to find a way, and it's hard to go against Kurt Cignetti. You know, he wins, Google him, and he's won a clip of 22 so far. It's like, do I really have a reason to go against this guy? Like, this Hoosiers team has done nothing wrong, and I know our buddy Bear was on your program and other programs pointing out the fact that they make the fewest mistakes. They have the second lowest penalty yardage per game in the country. They're number one on third down offense. They're number three on third down defense. And then they've just committed 8 turnovers all season. So victory favors the team making the fewest mistakes, and that's been Indiana so far 14 times this year.
Let me ask it this way, by the way, and Wes points that out, 14 times this year. Indiana trying to go 16-0. Never been done in the history, obviously, of college football. If the exact same games have been played, the exact same plays have happened, but Indiana was wearing Alabama uniforms all year long, what's the spread tonight?
I think it's probably around 6. Like, and I was talking about that with somebody actually just last night. I was like, if this were Georgia, if this were Ohio State, we might be laying about 6 here to the Ducks, as good as the Ducks have been and as good as they are. Because I just think the profile, I just think a lot of the national media, Gil, they can't wrap their heads around the fact that this is the best team in the country right now. And, you know, until they get beat, or if they even ever get beat this season, they're the best team in the country. And the media, I think, has been slow to kind of recognize that because they get caught up in brand name. It's like, yeah. Oh, Indiana, like, this is just a fluke. This is just a lucky run. Well, it's not. They've outplayed every team. They outplayed Ohio State. They outplayed Alabama. They've outplayed Oregon. They've beaten 3 of the top 8 teams in the country, 3 of the 8 teams that made the quarterfinals. Nobody else has done that. So I feel like Indiana, because of the brand name, may not get the benefit of the doubt from the national press.
And you will be at the national championship if they advance. Yes, we can guarantee that.
Somehow, some way.
By hook, by crook,
whatever we do, somehow I'm getting there.
All right, 90 seconds left here, Wes. Can you give us your favorite NFL wild card weekend play before you get out?
Yeah, I got a couple for you. I took the Chargers +3.5 against the Patriots. I think that may go to 4. I'm just playing against that Patriot, not only the schedule, but the fact that they played so many backup quarterbacks, rookie backups, third string guys all year long. And now you're getting one of the best in the league in Justin Herbert. And I know the offensive line has given issues, but he's still ticking. I mean, he's still upright. So I like the Chargers in that spot. And then for the total, I like the Rams and the Panthers tomorrow under the total of 46.5. I know that was a shootout in the first game, 59 points, but Carolina got a pick six and a lot of short field touchdowns. I think their ceiling is just, you know, high teens from a scoring standpoint. So under 46.5 tomorrow, Rams Panthers.
Okay. We do have a tweet. Mike Rouse, help me interpret this. Hoping we can get a Wes Reynolds review of Buc-ee's. Is that a thing?
I did. It's the biggest convenience store / gas station I've ever seen in my life. And they are franchised based out of Texas. This place was an experience if you're in the Midwest or the South. And I went first time last night in Dalton, Georgia, on my way down to Atlanta.
There it is.
I've never been to one, but man, I Isaiah Wrinkle walks around here wearing Buc-ee's like hoodies and stuff all the time.
Oh, that's what he's wearing.
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that. Okay. Now makes sense. Wes, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the game. Enjoy every minute of this magic carpet ride, man. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Hope it continues. Thanks for having me again.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. Not only, of course, following Indiana around the country, but co-host of Long Shots.
That's right.
It's called Long Shots, which I guess resumes next week.
Yeah, it's the plan.
Okay.
It's the plan.
As long as they don't keep canceling golf tournaments.
I guess that could be one thing.
Okay.
I think we're okay, though.
That could be one thing. Seems like there's a story behind this. Maybe a 30 for 30 on Long Shots coming up as well. Which NFL team do we trust more? Matchups. Kelly has put something together. That's next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening. Podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. These are fans who respond, engage, and convert. Convert is the key. If you want your message in front of people who actually take action, Mission Media makes it happen. Visit vsin.com/advertise or email us at advertising@vsin.com. The tweets abound. Appreciate all the feedback from everybody. This is Martel J. This is Kelly. Don't you mean Kelly Blade Midland for your hyphenated name? Kelly Blade Midland?
Yeah, that would work.
Okay. Wegg's Pool. Beck is just 23. He's no Tyler Shuck or Brandon Whedon. Kelly was just playing around with that. The point was about Malachi Toney, though. Because actually, if you do, so Carson Beck was awesome. A freshman in 2020. So it's literally right before Malachi Toney's 13th birthday. Right before his bar mitzvah, Kelly. That's when Carson Beck was a freshman. Did you go to his bar mitzvah by any chance?
I did not. I've been to several bar and bat mitzvahs, though.
Corey Henderson, 775. Carson Beck is the Aaron Rodgers of college football. Dude's so old, I'm expecting him to start every press conference with, back in my day. Darren Frazier, have you noticed, according to the Indiana website, each of the last three matchups since 1963 between these teams landed on exactly 50? Is this what we call a trend? Go Indiana. My son is at Oregon State, so my bets are both emotional and stat-based. Let's go. I'm sure someone will use it as a trend, Darren, to answer your question. You won't hear it here. Mike Rouse, I have Miami at 100-1 to win the Natty. Before tonight's game, I can bet Indiana at +120 or Oregon at 3-1 to win the national championship. Feels like the best way to hedge. Thoughts? Oh, I see what you're saying, because whoever advances will end up being the favorite, and so it's not as nice of a hedge because it'll be minus money. It won't be plus money. I guess if you feel like Kane's, you're a little shaky about it, yeah, not a bad way. But then you got to pick where you got to play both of them. You can't just pick one, because then it's not a clean hedge. The other one could win. You understand. Jeff G., give me the hook. By the way, Signetti and the boys will roll the Ducks tonight in the ATL, he says. 94 days till the Masters. Great show, gents. Thank you, Jeff G.
That's right.
94 days till the Masters.
Scottie Scheffler can hit the ball further this year.
A tradition unlike any other. By the way, I was doing the podcast, the Megapod. I forgot to tell you this. At the Wynn, the lovely Wynn Studios, Sirius XM Studios at the Wynn, about a month ago, Justin Rose walks by the window while I'm doing it.
Yep.
2 weeks ago, Scottie Scheffler walks by.
Really?
I swear.
I was wondering where that story was going. I'm very glad it was Scottie Scheffler.
Who'd you not want it to be?
No, like if it was like Keegan that wasn't there or something.
Pick Kelly's favorite. Keegan Bradley was there, Kelly.
I would have just run out of the Megapod and be like, Keegan, let's party.
Ace DiCardano, Wes is undefeated betting a big IU football game this season. That guy is some sort of gambling savant. Jay Nez, don't sleep on the Ducks. Indiana missing their best interior defensive lineman. Yeah, I mentioned that. Alabama was not capable of testing this out. Their run game is terrible. Oregon had early success running the ball against Indiana and ended up throwing too much. Yeah, well, no, we're not sleeping on them. I hear you. That's why I brought up Indiana doesn't have two key defenders in this one. Trey Edge, you're spot on with the Bruno Mars bangers throughout his small catalog and an absolute must-see live. Trey, if you live in Vegas as long as someone like us have, seen him seven times, and he's going to be at Allegiant next time. Now he's playing stadiums. That would be the fifth venue, different venue in Vegas.
Can I bring up something? We were talking about this a little bit off.
He's the modern-day Michael.
The old Bruno Mars gambling debt thing is just continue. It's just funny. It's just funny. And there's certain things. So I had a buddy call me the other day. I was talking to him on the phone, and
you're referring to, just for everybody, is that he continues to have residencies in Vegas. The rumor is allegedly, because he has a massive gambling debt.
So he's got to pay it off.
MGM,
right?
Just says keep doing concerts.
There are these stories though. Like if you've lived in Vegas at any time, you get a lot more insight in kind of what people really believe of what's going on, right? So I had a friend call me yesterday, and he has just made it through the Diddy documentary.
Oh,
and he like you, was giving me a lot of crap for not having seen it yet.
Yeah,
right?
You're an idiot.
I'm ridiculous.
Yeah.
I realize.
Yeah.
And he's like, He's like, hell, I'll tell you, man. Like, he's like, I don't know what they think about it out there, but he's like, I am like 99% convinced now that Diddy had something to do with Tupac. And I'm like, that was my reaction to it. I'm like, kind of like, if you've like lived in Vegas all, that's just like, that's the story. Like, that's the story.
The guy who cut my hair, the story I told you, is like, he was just like, oh, you know, Gil, you know, Puffy killed Tupac. And I'm like, in my head, I'm just like, oh, God, just cut my hair, please. And everything he ever said was right. Billy Charlebois, worried about Fezzik's appearance later today. Last week, he did an imitation of Cheap Trick's Surrender that was so bad it made us forget Mike Damone's awful rendition in Fast Times as he was trying to peddle tickets when Stacey Hamilton interrupted him. Oh, he loves Fast Times. Maybe Fezzik, you know what I think Fezzik was doing? I think Fezzik was imitating Damone doing Cheap Trick. I think that's what happened.
Damone was maybe the most annoying character in that movie.
Money Gun Guz, our buddy who cashed in Circa Millions. He said, happy Friday, Gilly Kelly, on my way to Vegas as we speak. He's in his seat looking at his map, and he's tweeting us. Because, nice, of course, man. Tonight is the check ceremony.
That's right.
At Circa. So, like, the Stevie Fezziks of the world, who finished ninth, they're all getting their checks tonight. Vegas Horse Bulls, best show of the week. Thank you, buddy. With a crack, he says yesterday. Crack, man. Ryan Hyde, great segment with Wes on ANG. Wondering what the more joyful experience is right now in VEASAN land. Wes following around Indiana football. Greg Peterson with a gift card to Texas Roadhouse. Or Fezzik saving $2 on a $9 hamburger in Las Vegas, lunch only. Have fun today. Thanks for a great week of content. Thank you. Fred Currier, good morning, bro. You both, thanks for awesome Friday. Thank you. And DP, pitchers and catchers report for spring training in 36 days. Can I just bring up this one story? Since you bring up pitchers and catchers there, DP, you see this Tarek Skubal arbitration story?
Oh, yeah. We kind of knew it was coming, right?
Detroit Tigers, are you all kidding me? Tarek Skubal and the Detroit Tigers, this is the biggest gap between arbitration numbers in history. Two-time Cy Young, AL Cy Young winner Tarek Skubal, reigning Cy Young champ, filed for a $32 million salary this upcoming year, while the Tigers countered at $19 million. Sources tell ESPN, the $13 million spread per Jeff Passan, largest in salary arbitration history, the largest spread, it's the largest in salary arbitration history, sets up for a fascinating hearing in February. Does it? I don't think it's very fascinating. I think their arbitrator is going to be like, Tigers, just leave the room. Get out of here. Yeah. And the Tigers have this thing now where they're going to try to justify $19 million and then trade him for the most they can. You guys said he was only worth $19 million. Why should we give you more? So dumb. All right. Ready to do this? What, set this up for us, Kelly. What do we got here?
Or should we push it? Should we push it? Run against the clock a little bit.
Well, you don't want to do a couple of them? Let's do a couple of them.
We can do it. Okay. Right. So... this is a way, basically, of I'm gonna put Gil's feet to the fire. Okay, this is the basically which team I chose a couple from each conference.
I see what you did.
Do you trust to advance further in the playoffs? Okay, so I did a couple matchups from the AFC and a couple matchups from the NFC. And yes, this is of course with involving teams that you have bet this weekend. So who do you, Gil Alexander, trust to advance further? The Houston Texans, or a team you bet on this weekend, the Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm going to say Chargers, and I know a lot of people, when they hear that, like, are you crazy? It's the Chargers.
And if you're watching at home, the numbers below are the odds to win the conference right now.
Odds to win conference. The Texans plus 550, Chargers 13-1. I ultimately trust Justin Herbert more than I do C.J. Stroud. Not there's anything wrong with C.J. Stroud, but I trust Justin Herbert in this moment. And I trust Jim Harbaugh. Again, not that I have any knock on D'Amico Ryans, but I do trust Jim Harbaugh to manage a game better than I do D'Amico.
I think that's probably their biggest advantage.
And the biggest thing is, what's Houston's number one unit is that defense, right? Yeah. Arguably the best in the NFL. And I'm here to say the Chargers defense ain't that far behind it.
I cannot wait to see Sunday night. Yeah. I have heard so many different opinions of, like there's a lot of people that agree with you, right? Chargers, yeah. and I think the Chargers defense is really good, too. I've heard a couple short people think Patriots blowout Sunday night.
We'll see.
Man.
Time will tell.
Another one in the AFC. Who do you trust to advance further, Gil? Jaguars or Broncos?
I'm going to say, further is interesting because the Broncos have a one-week head start.
That's right. So the Jags have to win this week to even...
I think mathematically I have to say Denver. But if they were on even ground, I would say Jacksonville.
Okay.
Just because I...
Yeah, but you bet the Jags this week. So let's say they advance.
I'm going to say Jacksonville.
All right. There you go.
Again, I take Trevor over Bo Nix. And I just feel like the Jaguars are being underrated.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. I think it's fair to question how good truly is this team because it's a great winning streak. It's a bunch of bad teams.
Broncos
right?
beat so many teams by so few points. It just feels like a house of cards.
All right. Over to the NFC. Who do you trust to advance further? The 49ers or the Bears?
Is this who do I trust or who do I trust to advance further? You said who do I trust to advance further? So, yeah, so the Niners play the Eagles, the Bears play the Packers. So I think I'm obligated to say the Bears because I'm on the Bears. I'm on the Niners too. Obviously, Niners are a 3.5-4 point dog. But if it was just which team do I trust on neutral, it's the Niners because I'll take Brock Purdy over Caleb. That'll really trust Caleb fully.
Okay.
But to answer your question, to advance further, I'm going to have to say Bears in this case.
We'll save the big one for after the
break. All right. Let's do it. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming right back.